בוקר טוב, ערב שבת שלום. Okay, so in honor of Parashat Chayisara, there's a lot of action this week, Baruch Hashem. And of the many things we can speak about, I like to speak about whenever I can, halachics from the Parashat HaShavua. So we know that one of the most significant places from Israel is Me'arat HaMachpelah, so much so that the Zohar HaKadosh says that all tefillot that Am Yisrael make travel through Me'arat HaMachpelah, which means even if you pray by Beit HaMikdash, the tefillah still has to make its way to Hebron through Me'arat HaMachpelah. Me'arat HaMachpelah is the direct pipeline to the Kisei HaKavod. So it's of paramount importance. It's not stam that Avraham Avinu purchased it and the Avot HaOlam and Imahot HaOlam are buried there. Ze davar chashuv meod. And Avraham Avinu, we're going to see soon, I'm going to share with you a pirush of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And Imamish makes a play-by-play of every action that Avraham Avinu did in purchase of the Me'arat HaMechpelah. Now you're going to see, you know, we always speak about the tremendous chesed of Avraham Avinu. Today we're going to see how much of a Talmid Chacham Avraham Avinu really was. You're going to see Mamash, she took apart the whole transaction with a fine-tooth comb to make it completely, you know, bulletproof, so that nobody could ever have any sort of claim or mecha'a or eor, because, you know, and by the way, anytime the three most important places in Judaism were always purchased by Gdolei HaOlam in cash in front of everybody. What are they? Avraham Avinu did it first with Hebron, with Me'arat HaMachpelah. Then what else?
Yes,
Yaakov Avinu bought Shechem, Kever Shechem, and then David HaMelech purchased Mekom HaMikdash from Arabna Yebusi. They always paid no favors, no nothing. Cash only. No mortgages, klum klum. Only cash. We're going to soon see which cash Avraham Avinu used and why he did that. So let's look at the psukim to see what he did to make an ironclad sale so that there would never ever be any sort of claim or whatever. And that's why we, you know, a lot of people, even though today it's by and large occupied by Arabs, but that doesn't mean anything. So is Eretz Yisrael. It's saying the Kadosh Baruch Hu promised Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And not only that, they say, oh, we also come from Abraham. There's a pasuk at the end of this week's parasha. It says, Vayiten Abraham et kol asher lo leYitzchak. Abraham Avinu bequeathed everything he had to Yitzchak, even though he had other children. He had Ishmael, Bnei Keturah, all those. Yeah? The next pasuk says, ולבני הפילגשים אשר לאברהם נתן אברהם מתנות וישלחם מעל יצחק בנו אל ארץ קדם מעל יצחק בנו בעודנו חי קדם אל ארץ קדם. He gave them a few מתנות. ראשי הקדוש says he gave them שמות התומעה, he gave them black magic and stuff like that, but then the Torah says מה הוא עשה להם? וישלחם, kicked them out. He says זהו, כי ליצחק יקרא לחזרה. יצחק אבינו is the one and only progeny, the continuation of Avraham Avinu. So let's see what he did in order to purchase Me'arat HaMachpelah. It says a very interesting language in the Pasuk. It says, first he says, ויתן לי את מערת המכפלה שלו, אשר בקצה שדהו, בכסף מלא, יתננה לי בתוככם לאחוזת קבר. Twice in the same Pasuk, Avraham Avinu says, I want Ephron to give me the field, now, which sounds a little bit counterproductive, because everything Avraham Avinu was doing was trying to avoid being given the field, meaning taking it as a gift. He says, I don't want no favors. I'm not mafthoring the field. Yeah, I want to pay kesef male. And then he says, yitenenali. And then he says, bechesef male yitenenali. At the end of the pasuk, he says again, I want him to give it to me for full price. According to the language, according to the Lashon HaKodesh, he should have said, bechesef male yimkerenali. Let him sell it to me for, what's bechesef male yitenenali? Kesef connotes what? That indicates
buying.
A sale. It's a purchase. Yitenena indicates
yeah.
A gift. As maze, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh takes notice of those words. That's first of all. So that's number one. So first of all, he starts off by saying, Avraham Avinu had a few issues with the Me'arat HaMachpelah. Number one, the Zohar HaKadosh in this week's parasha says that the Me'arat HaMachpelah, as long as it was owned by Ephron, it was a spooky, haunted place. You know that? Like a haunted house, haunted like territory. And all the Zohar HaKadosh, I'll tell you in Lashon HaKodesh, says, Efron miyamav lo ra'a b'me'ala zulat ha'choshech v'abehala. Every time he walked into that property, there was darkness and, you know, scary, whatever. So he might think, Avraham Avinu wanted to make sure that the way he sold it, Efron would never come back to say, now, after he sells it to Avraham, it says, V'yakum ha'sadeh tekumah ha'italo, Rashi HaKadosh says, that the Sadeh was now brought up, now is full of light and Kedusha and whatever, and everybody comes to pray there, Efron might come and say that he was gypped on Na'ah. I didn't know what I was selling when I sold it. Avraham Avinu did so many things. We're going to see halachic mechanisms to make sure that he didn't have any ta'anot, number one. Number two, Avraham Avinu was afraid that there's another thing. Whenever you sell the throughout Shas and throughout the, especially Masechet Bava Batra, Pirek Gimal, and other places in Shas, we find that there are certain things, even after you sell land, there are certain things that people can do to usurp your purchase.
Like get it back to Tuba.
Oh, so now how so? First of all, what else? For instance, we spoke about Ona'a. I was gypped. Okay, number one. Now, even though in Ona'a lekarkaot, the Gemara says that there's no, when we speak about Ona'a, which is ripping somebody off, being overpriced, underpriced, they're all legitimate in halacha, that doesn't apply to real estate. You know why? Real estate, there's never a set price on real estate. There's no such thing. Why? Real estate goes by what? Location, location, location. And what the value of real estate is what people are willing to pay for it. Sometimes all of a sudden, yeah, you can have this barren wasteland. All of a sudden, Jews start moving in. What happens? Yeah. That's the way it works. In on ala karkaot, nevertheless, the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin brings down a Yerushalmi that says that even though the Bavli holds that you can charge even 100 times the price on karkaot, the Yerushalmi says, in on ala karkaot ad chetzia, only to 50% of its market value right now, which means more than 50% of its market value, there is ona'a, which means if you sell a $100,000 property for $150,000, according to the Yerushalmi, which Tosfot brings, the halacha is that the sale is off. Avraham Avinu was concerned about that, that Efron might claim that there's ona'a. He was, you know, I didn't know what I was selling, so I got gypped. That's one. Another thing that can happen is dina de bar mitzra. You sell a field. The halacha is you have to give the right of first refusal to the adjacent neighbor. Why? The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk ve'asita ha'yashar ve'hatov, which means you have to give your neighbor the, if you have a field, especially. Yeah, it's machloket, whether it applies by houses. Let's say, and over here, what are we talking about? A field. Is it a field? Why do you have to give the neighbor the right of first refusal? He already has his property on the border of this property. Now, if he buys it, what does he do? He doesn't have to do anything more. Now his field grows exponentially based on the property that he purchases. The Torah says, "Ve'asita yashar ve'atog," you have to do what is good and just in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good and just, says the Gemara, what does that mean? You want to sell it anyway. You want to sell it? Offer it first to your neighbor. So, what else was he nervous about? Shi'abut. What's shi'abut? Lien. Sometimes, when you purchase a property, everybody knows, before you purchase a property, what's the first thing you do? Title search. You have to call the title search company and you have to ask them, hello, who is the, you know, what's the status of this karka? Because if you buy the karka without looking, that's a very foolish move. Lama, what's going to happen? You're going to buy the karka. Somebody else says, hello, it's linked to the bank. It's linked to this. It's linked to that. And then they're just going to come and take it away from you. They're going to seize the property. They're going to foreclose it. And you're going to be left with without anything. Therefore, Avraham Avinu, what did he do? There's no title search back then. He's nervous. Maybe I'm going to buy my Arata Machpelah. And then somebody's going to say, hold on a second. Efron, who owned it before, he leaned it to me before Avraham Avinu came and purchased it, and he's going to come seize it. How is Avraham Avinu going to deal with these three things? Okay? Shela yefa? Lo shel. So he says like this. First and foremost, the halacha is, let's start first with ona'a. Ona'a only works by a sale, but by a gift, there's no such thing as I was gypped out of this gift. Why is that?
It's a gift. Yeah.
A gift is that you give it b'lev shalem, you weren't gypped out anything. It's of your own free will, even though a sale is also of your own free will, but you're being compensated. A gift is something you're not compensated for. Therefore, whether there's no such thing as, oh, now what happens if a person gives you a gift and then he says, oh, I really didn't know how much, you know, how much, too bad. That's number one. Number two, the same thing by bar mitzvah. The halacha of offering the right of first refusal to the neighbor is only by a sale. What happens if I want to give it to a gift to somebody else and the guy screaming, he says, hey, don't give it to a gift to this as a gift to this person. I'd rather buy it, the neighbor says. There's no din over there. I can give it as a matana to whoever. Only when I want to sell it do I have to first offer it, says Maran. Only when I sell it do I have to first offer it to the neighbor. Aval, when I'm giving it as matana, I don't have to do that. Therefore, what? Avraham Avinu did what? He says, I want to get out of these two things. That's why Avraham Avinu said, I'm paying you, but I still want you to give it to me as matana. He says, Ve'itin li et me'arat. I want you to give me matana. A matana for kesef, but with a hilchot matana. Why? Once you give it to be matana, ona'a is gone. Overpricing, underpricing is gone. Dina de bar mitzra is gone because it's a matana. What are you saying? Also, sure. Why not? There is, sure. Why not? And this is before Matan Torah also. So that you have to take that into consideration. Now, here's the other issue. Then what? What about the third thing? What about lien? What about a lien? Avraham Avinu didn't just go, usually when you want to buy a property, anybody here in real estate knows, when you go to buy a property, you don't go talk to the whole city. What do you go talk to?
The owner.
Talk to the owner. You sit down. You make a deal. You go to the lawyer. You go to sit down. Make a contract. Pay the money. Shalom. Why did Avraham Avinu, remember Mikey and the Psukim. How did Avraham Avinu make this whole thing? He made like a whole town hall meeting to purchase imagine every time you have to purchase a property, you have to make a town hall meeting. Meet with everybody in the city. Why do you do that? Why do you make such a big production?
Everyone knows that.
No, so sure, there's no need. Says the Orachaim Hakadosh. That was the title search. He did. Shamaat ata? Omer? Omer Tov. Yeah. Ze olach leishiva. Omer Torah. Yes, he says like this. Huh? Who shir you?
That's from.
So now listen to this. Shiva. Avraham Avinu gathered the whole city. And there was two reasons, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, why he gathered the whole city. Number one, to make sure that there's no lien here. If there was a lien, you got to speak now. Because one of these people came and said, oh, it's really lien to me. Avraham Avinu could tell him later, hello, if it was lien, you should have spoken before. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Number one. Number two, the halacha is, listen carefully. In Choshen Mishpat Siman Kuf Ayin, also with regards to Bar Mitzvah, another way he got out of it, of the selling it to the neighbor, said like this. What's the halacha? If I'm looking to sell my property, let's say you're my next door neighbor, and you're also a real estate agent. You bring me a customer for my field. You bring me a client, but you bring me a buyer, and we sell the field. Can you come back later and say, hey, wait a second, I'm the next door neighbor, you should have offered it to me first? When you act as the broker, what are you doing? By acting, but even though he's a neighbor, but by the neighbor acting as the broker, he's forfeiting his right of first refusal. Therefore, Avraham Avinu didn't know who was the neighbor of this property over here next to Ephron. But it's got to be somebody in the city. So therefore, what did he do? He brought everybody in the city to be the brokers between him and Ephron. That's why he says, he didn't go straight to Ephron. He made them, he signed the retainer with the brokers. He said, I want you all to be my broker so that even if one of you is the neighbor, you forfeited your rights. There's a chokhmah.
Didn't he forfeit it before by him giving it as a matana?
Well, here's another way. Here's another way. So now that's that. Even if it's a sale, they're saying, no, it's not a matana. You paid money. It's a sale. He says, okay, no problem. It's a sale. You guys were brokers. Anyways, you forfeited your rights to the field even if you're a neighbor. Now, here's another thing. Avraham Avinu has a problem now. He says, you have to, just like any other purchase of property, you have to make a kinyan. Now here's the thing. There are kinyanim for matana, there's kinyanim for metaltelin, there's different kinyanim when it comes to halacha. If you look in from Siman Kuf Tzadi, the Siman Resh, that's all of dine kinyanim in Choshen Mishpat. So now, because it's a goy, he didn't know exactly, not he didn't know, but he wanted to cover all bases. Avraham Avinu was thinking to himself, which kinyan can I do now that will cover both real estate and non-real property like movable objects? There's only one kinyan that covers both. You know, by metaltenim. Give me some examples of kinyanim that work by metaltenim, by movable objects. Meshicha, hagbaha, yeah, mesira, things of that nature. Give me some examples of kinyanim that work by karkaot. Karka nikneet b'shalosh derachim.
Kesef,
shtar, v'chazaka. Ze mishna in?
Kiddushin.
Yefe meod. Bekitzur, why would it be in Kiddushin?
By how do you acquire women?
Because once the style, the pattern of the Mishnayot in the first Pidduk are all the things that we spoke about kinyanim of women, and there were three. Then we spoke about kinyanim of other things. Yeah, that's the pattern. Yeah. So what else is in there?
Ephrona.
Ivid Ivri is also in there. Yeah. So we learn women are married. The fact that we know that a person's able to be Mekadish, a woman, Al Yedei Kesef, is learned from. From the founder of modern day Taaruf, Mr. Efron. Yeah. Nachon. Right? This is the first. Well, really, somebody told me that this is the first place in the Torah where we find Taaruf. Right? For all our non-Persian friends out there, Taaruf is, for lack of a better term, it's insincere show of respect when you don't really mean it. Acting like you want something or you want to do something when you don't really mean it. Like Ekron, what's he busy doing? He's busy running his mouth. No, take it. No, Baba Jun. No, it's okay. Basof ma, kama. Not right. 400 shekel kesef aved lasocher shachat oto. So that's, but the truth is, I told them that's not the first show of Taaruf in the Torah. Where's the first show? First show. The first place you actually have this kind of behavior in the Torah.
Adam?
No. Last week's parasha. Think. But it wasn't fake. It was real. The Malachim and Lot. Lot was bothering the Malachim. He was harassing them. Come in. What did they say? No, I'm good, Baba Joe. No. And then they eventually, he bothered them enough and what? And then they came in. That was real. They really didn't want to come in. Why? Because, well, they were on a mission to destroy Sodom. But anyway, that was that. You didn't hear that before. Anyway, because come in, Baba Joe. Come in. Nah.
That was actually real.
Yeah, that was real.
The truth. So
yeah. Meant it. He wanted them to come in, and they didn't want to come in. So that was real. That wasn't like faking.
Yeah.
True. This was the first time that it was fake in the Quran. Ephron was fake.
It was the first time it was a real Taaruf.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, Avraham Avinu, there's one kinyan in the entire Shulchan Aruch that traverses between Metaltelin and Karkaot. What's that? Nope. Kesef doesn't work for metaltelin. There's one kinyan in the entire Shas and Shulchan Aruch that works for both equally, karkaot and metaltelin. Ma, mihu ze ve'ezehu.
Chazaka.
Kinyan agav.
Ne, Baba. Talk to me.
Kinyan agav
is only for karka. You kone karka and agav that, you kone metaltelin. But there's, that's double process. Chalipin, yefeh meod. Kinyan chalipin, a barter. The Shulchan Aruch says very clearly, works for both karka, you can be kone karka, bechol makom al yedei chalipin, a barter. And you could also be kone metaltelin through chalipin. Here's the issue though, in order to make a chalipin, the Gemara learns out, this is Gemara. The Masechet Bava Metzia, the fourth perek Hazahav, we learn out that in order, we learn out kinyan chalipin from Boaz. Yeah, Boaz and Tov and Ploni Almoni. Yeah, when they, yeah, that was his name, Ploni Almoni. Anyway, Bekitzur, so over there we learn out, Shalaf Ishna Alo, you have to use a keli, you have to use some sort of utensil to transfer ownership of the item that you want to take acquisition of. Machloket over there between Rav and Levi, Kelav Shel Kone, Kelav Shel Makne, Alacha Kerav, we hold Kelav Shel Kone. We hold that the utensil has to be of the koner, has to be the utensil of the buyer, the purchaser. Therefore,
yeah,
not Hagbah on the Ketubah, the Kinyan that he makes.
Kinyan on the fact that he's now being makneh to her.
Not makneh it, no. He's being makneh his hitchayvut on the Ketubah to the woman. So technically, you're asking a good question. So Tachoshen asked this question. Under the chuppah, with takshivata, yeah. So he says, Gushkon. So he says, is that good? So the kala is being kone, the kala is acquiring the hitchayvut, the responsibility of the chatan towards her. So that's why the chatan makes a kinyan under the chuppah. Technically, based on what I'm telling you, that you have to use kelav shel kone, you have to. Who's the kone under the chuppah? Chatan or kala? Kala is the kona. She's acquiring the itchayvut of the husband towards her. So technically, whose keli should be used? So when was the last time you saw the kala take off her shoe and give it to the chatan under the chuppah? Ya'asa kinyan. Usually the rav or the adim, they give him a kinyan, a kippah, a pen, whatever. How does that work? Says the ktes, a ktsot bringing from a taz. So the choshen says beautifully. It's machloket between them. But the Ktzot says it's midin Ivid Kanani. Just like a person can come, it's also Gemara and Kiddushin, that a person can come and pay money to the master on behalf of the Ivid Kanani to free him. So too by Kinyanim as well. The Rav, the Adim, they can give the Chatan an item on behalf of the woman and it'll be considered her item. That's how it works. But anyway, you see from Yeresbi Kalev Shal Kone. Over here, who is the Kone in this transaction? Marat HaMachpelah Abraham Avinu. So it has to be his keli. But he says, you know what? I want to use something that's going to kill two birds with one stone. A purchase and a chalipin. But the Gemara says in Masech Bavam Tziah that you can't use money for a chalipin. You have to use a keli. That's why Abraham Avinu didn't use regular money. Arba meot shekel kesef over la socher. Taklin chadatin used very, very, this was currency. Now money, what's interesting about money? Money is not taken everywhere. Right? Accepted everywhere is only American Express. That's only that. Nachon? So he says like this, yeah. American Express, black. Okay, this is oh, de la chashuvim. Yeah, but they didn't have American Express back then. It was only money. Currency is only accepted based on location where you are. You come and spend. Even they used to be in Israel. Many years ago, you used to be able to spend dollars in Israel. Today in Israel, they don't want to look at dollars. There's a zivin. Yeah. Anyway, only shekel. No doubt. Nahon?
But they take euros also, euro.
Nowadays they take euros?
Yeah.
But dollars, they won't look at you. Dollars, they don't. I tried last time I was in Israel, it was before right before COVID. I tried, I was in a cab and I didn't yet change money into shkalim. I tried to pay in dollars. He said, Lech techapes et ha-chaverim shelcha. Yeah, that's not. It's not going to cut it. Go, he took me to a change place. I had to leave my wallet in the cab. It was a whole situation. Anyway, the kids are, huh? They're not looking at your dollars. They don't want your dollars.
Yeah, they
need it.
The change rate is terrible.
No, the zivin's in. Now, the kitzur, especially now Biden, the dollar's like pesos in Mexico. Anyway, the kitzur. Mikol makom.
Let's go, friend.
Huh? No, no, takshir. So over here, he used... Abraham Avinu used his American Express black, and he was the only person in the world that had this. This was the only currency that was used as currency everywhere in the world because it was worth its weight in silver. They didn't really have such currency. That's why this money that he used was not only money, it was also being used as a transferring instrument, as a kinyan chalipin, not only kesef mikna, it was also being used over la socher. Abraham Avinu asa kacha. Look at all the fine details. You know, when was the last time you bought a house? The lawyer gives you fine print. Was a sign it, zil. Avraham Avinu wasn't taking any risks. The eternity of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael depended on this purchase. That's why Avraham Avinu wasn't taking any chances, and he covered all his bases. The Rachaim HaKadosh says afterwards, only after he paid, and does the pasuk say like this, takshivu. But Yaakov said, Ifron asher b'machpelah asher lifnei mamre, השדה והמערה אשר בו, וכל העץ אשר בכל גבולו סביב. לאברהם למקלה נעלה ונחית, בכל באי שער עירו. He made the kinyan, everything was done, signed and sealed, and only afterward, says the Torah, ואחריכן, קבר אברהם את שרה אשתו, אל מערת שדה המכפלה. Only afterwards did he bury his wife. I ask you a question. You know, this transaction probably took some time. You know what I'm saying? When you buy a house, you go to the lawyer. It takes a few hours. They didn't have lawyers then, but this thing took a few hours. In the meantime, Miskina Sara is lying there, the Bizayon. Why didn't he do? You know, everybody knew Abraham Avinu was good for it. How come Abraham Avinu first didn't go bury her and then take care of the details later? You know, even funeral homes today, what they do, maybe you give a deposit, whatever, you sign some paperwork, you go bury, and afterwards you go to the office and you deal with all the paperwork, the payment, and stuff like that. Abraham Avinu didn't do that. He took however long it took, probably a few hours, to take care of all the transactions, and only afterwards he went to bury Sarah. Why? He wasn't good for it?
It's worse to unbury someone than to leave them out. Yeah, well, if he ends up changing his mind that he doesn't want to sell it, it's worse to untake out the burial.
Yeah, he wasn't going to change his mind. Once he buries him, the guy's going to change his mind. Just buried my dead. Crazy? Oh, he's going to like back, like taro, like reverse taro. Anyway, he's a two-face. Even Pirkei Avot. Omer me'at, omer al beve ose me'at. Ze Efron. Yeah, Abraham Avinu was Omer Me'at Ve'Oseh Arbeh. Abraham Avinu listens to him and from talks. What's Abraham Avinu doing? Shamati. Vayishma Abraham El Efron. He says, I heard what you said. Tach, takes out the wallet. Tach, Allah, notem. Efron, talk. Basof, klum. Ah.
He didn't even know that he was going to charge 400 until he did that kind of tarot, no?
It's good he brought his checkbook, huh?
No, I heard from in the name of the Vilna Gaon that his Avram's Kavana was even to pay 1,000. Like he was thinking that that's what he's going to pay. And
when you're dealing with such people, you have to prepare for every eventuality. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what he's going to pull a fast one. People do that a lot, by the way, by closings. I see it a lot. I get in a bidding. Everything's good, nice by negotiations, whatever. By closings, all of a sudden, things like blow up. They put things in the contract. You know how many times deals blow up at signing, at closings? Terrible. You know, people just can't keep their word. You know what I'm saying? V'dover emet bilvavo. Nachon, Ryan? Ma'ze dover emet bilvavo? Yefeh, b'makot. He said something, you say a word, zil. There's a story, the Gemara says, Rav Safra was once in the middle of Kriyat Shema. And he was a salesman. He sold the gadim or whatever it was. And somebody came over to him in the middle of Kriyat Shema. And he says, I want to purchase an item for X amount. So Rav Safra, he was silent. He's in the middle of Kriyat Shema. Zasur. So now he kept silent. The guy thought that he was ignoring him because he wanted to jack up the price. He says, you know what? I'll pay you double. Klum. Rav Safra no mer klum. Keeps on going higher. Eventually, Rav Safra finished Kriyat Shema. He told him, give me the original price, $100, whatever he said. He says, no, I had in mind to give it to you. I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't talk. It was a milk Kriyat Shema. That's what's called V'dover Emet Bilvavo. The guy had no clue. He could have milked him like a cow. And what? He told him, not only V'dover Emet Bifiv, V'dover Emet Bilvavo, in your heart. You agreed on something, you thought about something, zero. When's a person matzleach in business? He's honest. When you're honest and you do business kamo ben adam, that's the first question. Nasata v'natata be'emuna. Even before HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks about kava'ata itim la Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what about honesty? What was your Torah worth if you're not an honest person? You know how many people,
you get judged on Torah first.
The punishment, nachon. But the question, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what's your Torah worth if you're not going to be honest? Torah without honesty is garnished. Mom is garnished. Person has to be honest like an arrow. Like Abraham Avinu, Yashar, paid, Zeh. Look at all the tzaddikim. Always, the Ari HaKadosh would not go to sleep at night. It's brought him Shara Kavanot if he owed somebody money. Even though the guy said, no, pay me, he would not go to sleep at night if he would borrow that day. He would go and do whatever he needed to do, not go to sleep until he paid the person back. And because the Davar, to go to sleep owing somebody money. Can you imagine? So that's when a person's Matzliya. A person who's not yashad, a person who's not honest, can do all sorts of things, whatever. He can, I'm not saying he can't make money. He can make money, but he's going to lose it. Or, if he doesn't lose it, he's not going to have bracha in the money. People can have a lot of money and have zero bracha in the money. It goes for hospitals, bar minan, and for this, and for that, shamirachim, and for this lawyer, and for that lawyer. More is not necessarily better. I'm giving you a lesson for life. More money doesn't mean you're richer. Ashir is when you have whatever you need, and in that money you have bracha. What's it worth to have so much money and then to have klala with the money? Chas shalom. Yeah? So he says like this. Yeah? Rabotai, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh answers the question I told you before. Why did he wait until afterwards to bury her? The halacha that Rambam says is that by Yisrael, when you sell a karka to Yisrael, you kone immediately with kesef, shtar, or chazakah. But by a goy, it doesn't work like that. By a goy, when you pay the money to the goy for the field, he removes his ownership of the field, but the Jew, the buyer, doesn't take ownership until he either takes the shtar or makes a chazakah in the karka, which means Avraham Avinu paying Ephron the money for the field didn't necessarily make him take ownership of the field yet. And says that Rambam in Ilchot Zchiyah Matana, anybody at that point, if you're a, you know, if you're a crook, you can jump in and make a chazakah on the karka and it belongs to you. Therefore, Avraham Avinu didn't do anything yet. He didn't, you know, go and pay. No. What did he do? First, he went, finished all the transactions, and part of the burial was the chazakah in the karka. Remember, because in order to bury, you have to move the ground, you have to beautify, you have to dig it, and you have to make it solid. All these things make a chazakah in the karka. That's why only after that, Avraham Avinu did all of the things, and he didn't let anything else. Why? Because if he would have buried Sarah first, what would have happened? Even if, and then do the transaction later, it wouldn't have been the kinyan for him. First he did that, all the kinyanim that he did, then he made a chazakah, and by burying Sarai, actually did chazakah on the karaka, and that's how he took possession.
The person does like a business deal with the coin, and they, let's say, they give them the documents first,
yeah.
Only thereafter they sign it. Let's say the coin gives you the documents that finish the deal, and only afterwards he signs it.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that the kinyan has an acronym, or does anybody come and be except care, and
then only kesef. Shtar is gomer the kinyan. The Rambam says it's by kesef by goy. If you paid a goy for something and you didn't get a shtar and you didn't do a chazakah yet, the kinyan is not completed yet and anybody else can jump in and be zochah. Mesukan. Mesukan meod. That's why Avraham Avinu was b'chuchmato. And he did this thing now. He made an ironclad thing. Nobody can ever come and say the Arabs there. Nam shamin. The shelano. Avraham Avinu bought it. Yeah? If Avraham Avinu would have bought it for the Arabs, he would have buried Ishmael over there. Abraham, Adam Rishon, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Unshotehem. They're there. The Shalom Israel. Nobody should tell you any different. That's why Hashem is saying the Jews who live in Hebron, they're making a presence. They're saying, hello, don't get too excited. The Shalom Abraham Avinu, Shalom Yitzchak Avinu. Don't touch it. There's a small Jewish community. Anyway, but there's a small Jewish community over there. But they make sure to tell the Arabs all the time, "Hello, relax. We're still here. We're the sons of Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Alav Shalom." Yeah, Shelo Tachshivu. This is where the tefillot go through. Now, unfortunately, in order to go pray in Me'arat HaMachpelah, you need to get their permission first. Yimach Shemem. You know?
They're only like 3-4 times a year.
They give permission. Yimach Shemem. Mi Michlal. Have to ask you permission. Zavotenu Kedoshim. You have to ask them permission. Even remember by the Atzat HaMeraglim, who went to pray there. Kalev ben Yefuneh understood the significance of the makom and he went to pray there. Rabotai is a makom kadosh meod, and Avraham Avinu did everything he could to make sure that the transaction was complete and irrevocable. That's what it is, Rabotai. We'll pause this for a second and go to Parsha.